So, Hare Krishna, the time is now, the place is here, you have arrived. Many of us have planned, many of us have rearranged the busy schedules. We have looked forward to this. We have thought, I can't believe I'm doing this year, finally. We have heard so much. The time is now, the place is here, you have arrived. Going on a retreat means in some ways to break an old pattern of behavior and thought, to develop a new pattern of behavior and thought. This will probably be my only Western thinker whom I'm quoting here in this Holy Land. But when Albert Einstein was asked for a definition of craziness, he said, "He is crazy who thinks if he continues to do the same thing, he will have new results." Doing the same thing all over again and thinking, oh, something new will develop. That was his definition of craziness. We all have certain habits. Our life, which we lead, is governed by our desires, by our value systems, by our expectations, and most probably they are always the same, more or less the same. Going on retreat means to exit this self-constructed little world of ours, and in some ways realize the freedom which we have, the unlimited freedom to lead a life which is serving our present state of development much, much better than what we usually do. Those who have organized retreats speak about the liminal space, a space in which the person who goes on a retreat has to go in order to make new discoveries. While in Vrindavan this year, I visited one sacred place called Kadamba Kandi, where I saw a beautiful cave in which spiritual people have gone to make new discoveries. They have left the ashram at the foothill of the mountain, and they have climbed the steep path next to these trees where there are a lot of peacocks, and they have then found the cave and sat in the cave and not left it until they have made new, let us say, insights in their life. A liminal space, my dear devotees, my dear friends, is something where you leave your old life behind, but where you have also not yet fully realized your new life. You're not yet enlightened in the liminal space. You are in an in-between state. You're not in your old life, and you are not yet where you wish to be. But strangely, it is in particularly this in-between state where you can discover new paths, new things in your life. For some, this is a scary place. They're afraid of this. I have a friend who is a school teacher and who has asked his school class to do a meditation according to one of the meditational guidelines which I have written down in one of the books. And when it came to the part where they had to close their eyes, a few of the school children became afraid. There were no mobile phones. There were nothing to see, which they usually saw. And they felt uncomfortable, because modern men or modern women who are so much outwardly facing are afraid to go inside into the spiritual, into the space of the heart, the temple of the heart, as it's often said, the sacred space inside where growth can take place. There is an easy way, which we teach in these retreats, how you can enter this space, a way where you don't have to be afraid, a way which works very easy. You hear about, this called Shravanam, spiritual subjects, then you reflect about these subjects. You may reflect about this by talking with your friends and your retreat neighbors and so on. It's good to reduce phone calls and WhatsApp calls and what's not up calls and what is Facebook, what is I lost my Facebook face. Where is your normal zones in which you work? It's good to minimize all this. Also, no need to buy a newspaper. and just create a new world for you. A world which is composed of the spiritual inspirations and guidance which you will receive from those who give the retreat. And then, my dear devotees, see how you can apply those new insights and make them work. This is how you enter a new zone. This is how you enter a new level. This is how you come to a new platform in your life, and a new space, if you so want. No? You hear, you reflect, you, I think in American slang you will say, you mill over it. You digest it, you struggle even with the concepts, you deal with them, you engage with the subject during the classes and outside of the classes, and your dreams even, that will happen, you will have good dreams, hopefully, mostly one has. And then you apply this, and by the mercy of Vrindavan, some amazing new insights, and not just insights, blessings will happen. I do not tire to read a verse which is, I feel, very, very relevant for all of us who go on a retreat. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that anyone who remembers this verse and keeps it in his heart shines in the association of devotees. In other words, he is special amongst the devotees. This verse talks about a very wonderful concept. It comes in the 11th canto. That is to use our bodies and minds to attain amazing spiritual treasure. I want to say this especially this year, because you will have to keep a little bit your focus on, as you see, here out in the, no, let me say, out in the village, if you so want. We are very close to the pulse of nature. This year, the Govardhan retreat is, or the Holy Name retreat, and later the Govardhan retreat is a little later because the Purushottam month has pushed all the dates into the back. So you will face a little bit cold. It will be colder, it will be a little darker in the morning and quicker dark in the evening. You need to have an inner resolve to keep your purpose strong. And this verse, which I would like to read to you, can give you a strong motivation. It gives you a strong motivation for spiritual practice. It says, this process is the supreme intelligence of the intelligent and the cleverness of the most clever. For by following it, one can in this very life make use of the temporary and unreal to achieve me, the eternal reality. Bhakti, and especially the foremost practice of bhakti, chanting the holy name, is so unique that if you use the body and the mind, which are susceptible to disease, to all kinds of unnecessary thoughts and mood swings. Now, if you use this instrumentarium in the process of bhakti, you can reach the highest spiritual goal, the eternal and the eternal. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur expresses it like this. The inhabitants of this planet who are mortal, who are born in low family, can offer me their bodies, Krishna speaks, they can offer me their bodies, which are actually not worth a penny. I have to object. According to one calculation, your body is worth €1.25. So, the inhabitants of this planet can offer me their bodies, which is actually not worth a penny. It means the chemical composition is not so valuable. For they are often deformed. Those of you who are older can look down their bellies and see. For they are often deformed and will eventually be afflicted with old age and disease. But through their offerings, they can attain me, the ocean of sweetness, Haribo. I accept their offerings. I, who am supposed to be the most clever, give myself with joy to the devotees. And along with me comes my priceless ornaments, my bracelets, and my crown, a gold crown. So aren't these inhabitants of this planet the most intelligent and skillful? So what does it mean to give our body to the Lord? It means to engage the ear in hearing about Krishna, hearing his holy name. And it means to engage the mind in remembering, thinking about Krishna. And it also means to engage your hands in the service of Krishna. This is what it practically means, to engage the temporary, that which is not eternal, that which has to go, that which will be taken out of your hands, to engage that for the highest benefit, to go back home, back to Godhead, and join Krishna in his loving pastimes. Keep, please, this motivation strong in your life. In your retreat. As you are on the retreat, please engage your body and mind for this one purpose, to increase your chanting of the holy name. When I was in this Kadamba Kandi forest, and in this cave, I also visited one little village with a very important temple of a gopi dedicated to the gopi Rangadevi, and it's in Rakholi. And there on the altar, I saw the holy name written with Sanskrit letters. And I asked the pujari, do you worship this written form of the holy name? And the pujari, he was elderly, he became silent. And he looked at me. How do you say in English? Trying to find out if he could tell me something which he considered very valuable. Then he gave himself an inner kick, I think you say, an inner push. And he said, "Yes, Maharaj, we worship here the holy name. The holy name of Krishna is the only boat which can take a soul over the ocean of samsara. Even Krishna is surprised when he hears about the potency and power of his own holy name." And he said it from such a deep place, from such a realized place, that I remembered Prabhupada's statements. This chanting, my dear devotees, is the very foundation of our spiritual life. Those who know something about construction know that if you want to build a substantial building, a high building, you must go deep in your fundament and build a strong fundament. So you have all come here to work really on the fundament, on the basis, on the very driving force, if you so want, and on that which holds you in your spiritual life. And for that, it is really, really important that you remember this motivation. Okay, for 1 week, I'm going to apply myself sincerely to chanting the holy name and learning how to improve my chanting. It's really important to stay from the very beginning focused on this aim and to maintain this. There is an analogy in the Vedic scriptures. Also, it is cited in the Bhagavatam. It says, the mantra is the bow, the self is the arrow, and the supreme person, Krishna, is the target. A sober person should make himself into an arrow. and use the bow of the mantra. When you use a bow, the first thing is you must take aim. I want my arrow to go there. This is I want that it reaches this particular tree push down an apple from the tree. Well, no archer uses bows and arrows to harvest apples, you know. I want my arrow to go to this target. Huh? And then you make a certain effort. You pull the bowstring. And it's not easy when you have a good bow, a long distance bow. Oh, you have to really learn to pull it. And then finally, you let go. These three things I want to recommend you during these retreats. take aim. And we will do a short exercise in a few minutes where we take aim. Why are you here, my dear devotees? What do you want to reach in relationship to your foundational practice of Krishna consciousness, the chanting of the holy name? Huh? What is your approach? Take aim. Then consider a little bit, what type of effort is appropriate for you? After some time, I think we will tell you how the retreats are laid out, what are the programs, what are the optional programs, what are the programs where it's good to be in attendance. And then finally, my dear devotees, when you go on a retreat, relax. It sounds, after what you have heard, take aim, make an effort, and all of a sudden relax. What is this? That sounds like California. No, what I mean is surrender to Krishna and allow Him to give you exactly what He wishes to give you. When you are so much in the expectant mindset, when you are so much even desiring to see a miracle, Krishna dancing on the Govardhan hill as you chant the holy name and so on, or even some very extraordinary chanting, your mind, your very expectations seals you off from the lesson which you are meant to make. Huh? This expectancy is something of very immature young beginners on the spiritual path. It is better to enter the receiver mood, to surrender to Krishna. So I really wish Burijan Prabhu to lead us in a concluding prayer session, so we have to be a little fast. I request you now to turn to your neighbor. The men will go with the men, the ladies with the ladies. Find a partner. I will go with Burijan Prabhu. Find someone, can be anyone, it doesn't have to be the most confidential friend. Sometimes I do this exercise and people say, can I phone my friend on WhatsApp? later, you can. Who has not yet found a partner? Please look around. Yes, you found someone? Good. It's important that you participate. Okay. So I request you to tell your partner why have you come to this Govardhan retreat? And what you are wanting to do during the retreat to attain a maximum benefit in your own spiritual life. What is your aim that helps you to take aim? And then what do you wish to do that helps you to define your effort? And then you can go very, very far. If you remain loyal or connected to these two purposes. Is the question clear? Two things? What is the first? My aim. Second, my effort, what I wish to do. Start now, please. We have not much time for this. You have to be a little bit active in your brain.